emergency episode. Kyle Tucker, a Houston Astro, no more. He's going to the Windy City. He's going to Wrigleyville, and he is a Chicago Cub.
Woo!
Welcome back to Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse, joined by Brandon Bullinger. Brandon, we've had a crazy day in the baseball world. I love baseball. I love days like this in the offseason. It's just the days like this remind you this is the best sport in the world.
Jesse, it's a lot of fun in these streets, dude. The stove is as hot as it gets. I mean, my phone is blowing up. I'm on a freaking commercial roof just doing some install. It's a crazy day. But you know who just got installed, dude? Back into the playoff picture. The Cubs. Whoa.
Wow.
Does this make them contenders? Does it push the needle enough for you? Jess, let's get into it. But first off, I know you're a big Kyle Tucker fan.
I am.
You know, that might surprise some people that have been following us know we're devout Dodger fans. But we don't let that give us too much cloud in our vision. But Tucker's
Kyle
a stud.
Dude, Kyle Tucker, so little backstory on him. I've been a pretty competitive fantasy baseball league for a few years, like 7 or 8 years actually. And I had Kyle Tucker as a keeper pick over Tyler Glasnow. This was back when he was on the Rays. And I got shit from my league about it. This was before he became like a stud. And I just like, no, I think this guy's going to be really good. And what happened? Glasnow blew out his elbow in midseason. Kyle Tucker has, I don't root for that, but I felt slightly justified in my decision because I've been on this guy for a long time. I love this for Chicago. I know that it's a 1 year rental because he will be a free agent after the season, but this dude is probably the most underappreciated superstar in baseball. He really is. And he puts up incredible numbers, a little bit injured last year, banged up, fouled the ball off his shin, which kept him out for 2 months for some reason. But dude is like a just reliable producer at the plate, really good defender. And I think he fits in perfectly on that team. I know that there's some moves that they're going to have to make. I know it's a heavy price because they did trade. They traded Cam Smith, which is their the Cubs last year's first round pick. They traded Hayden Wisniewski. And then who's a pitcher. And then they also traded Isak Paredes, who they got from Tampa Bay last year, who, you know, has 3 years of team control. So it was a steep price, but I think when you're a big market team like the Cubs, sometimes you got to do things like this. The Central is wide open. I think that they're there, man. I think they have a good shot at winning this division.
Yeah, especially with, you know, everything we've been hearing from the Cardinals seeming like they're going to punt off a bunch of their pieces and retool. It seems like it's, you know, never been more open. You know, the Brewers, will get into them a little bit, making a pretty big move today as well. But I love this for the Cubs. You know, they make this splash with Craig Counsell last year, and you're not really sure what direction they're going in. You know, that the Dansby Swanson contract. Sorry, they're the same looking guy, dude.
Charlie Culberson is the poor man's Dansby Swanson.
It is true, but they are both gorgeous, and do not be.
Yeah, they are.
Be hating on my boy Charlie. All right, anyway.
Oh, come on. Playoff hero,
Jesse
Charlie
Rowe is a hater, dude.
Yeah. I am.
No, but you know, it's exciting to see the Cubs back at it. You know, it seems like 2016 was a long time ago, but it seems like that was the last time we were really talking about the Cubs in any real competitive form. Because when they were winning that year, it seemed like, oh my God, it's just how many are they going to win next? You know, it's like that core dissolved so quickly. So Chicago, you know, stoked for you guys. You got a killer. But Jess, is this going to be another Soto situation if they're not able to re-sign him? I mean, the Cubs have been hesitant to sign any real big deals. It's going to take a lot more than, you know,
I think
200 mil to get him. You know,
oh, dude,
depends
on what kind of season we're going to see. He's going to be 28, I believe, entering free agency, which means if he has another big season, like if he has another 35 homer, 100 RBI year, you know, 900 OPS type season, we're talking about a guy that could potentially be landing a 10 to 11 year deal for, you know, $350, $400 million. You know, that number's been, 400 is a number that's been thrown out there. I see it happening, especially on the heels of Juan Soto just getting this mammoth contract. Kyle Tucker's like, why would I ever sign an extension after what Soto just did? I should fucking ball out this year, hit the open market, and see what I can get. I do think the Cubs make this move with the attempt of trying to extend him. I just don't think they're going to give away Paredes for 3 years of control and their number one pick from last year and Wisniewski. Everything I've read, he's supposed to be pretty good. I don't know much about him, but this is a pretty steep haul, and I think they're going to try to extend him, or they're going to be active players in him in the offseason. I absolutely think they're going to try. It's a risk, but it's a necessary one, and I think that they have in modern landscape of baseball, that division is so wide open that this is just a slam dunk for them, in my opinion. And to be honest, I do kind of like it for the Astros. But I also don't like it for the Astros because I'm like,
I'm right there with you on that. How are you giving this guy away?
You know, like you're not trying to keep him. You're not trying to keep this core together. You're letting Bregman walk potentially. You're not trying to keep him. Like, are the Astros just done here? Like, is this the end of the Astros dynasty? Because there's reports that Framber Valdez is going to get traded. They're not going to keep Bregman. Tucker's gone. It kind of feels like this is it.
There's something I feel about the Astros, and it's that they're like, they know their guys, right? They know their depth, and I don't know. I just feel like with the pieces that they got and with whoever they're going to move, I think they'll be able to retool and still be right there battling fucking Seattle for the number one spot in that division, which is still pretty weak. I know the Angels have made some moves. The A's, John Fisher's A's are out there, but whatever.
Seattle, though, they could
Seattle's
make
got
one
a big
move.
Opportunity here, man. Like, they really, really can get aggressive and seize a division. I mean, that would light up that city, dude. You tell me they fucking knock off the Astros this season and take that division, dude. You tell me Seattle's not going to go crazy out in them streets.
No, but you're right, because it's a little weird because you think of the Astros as like this powerhouse of the past few years, but they've let a lot of their stars walk. They let Springer walk. They let Correa walk. Now they might let Bregman walk. And now they're trading Tucker. They're not exactly like giving out these huge contracts. That's why that Josh Hader contract was so interesting last year and kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that they see the landscape of baseball where they're like, hey, these teams are just squeaking in with these three extra wild card spots. If we can just get our pitching in order, we can do enough on the offensive side of things with Altuve and Yordan and Peña. We have enough pieces there. And Paredes, you know, say what you will, he was terrible with the Cubs last year. Once the Cubs acquired him, he only hit like three homers in 52 games or something like that. But he's really good at backspinning the ball and pulling the ball to left field. He is a pull artist. That's what he does not hit the ball the other way. And what do they have in Houston? They have that short porch in left field and the Crawford boxes. Yeah. So I could see him pulling the ball a lot and hitting a lot of homers next year. So that could actually be a great team control contract for them.
Jeff, you said something about Kyle Tucker. They could just
win the division again.
Yeah, they might just run away with it. But you said something about Kyle Tucker seeing Juan Soto go to free agency going, you know, like, why would I ever sign an extension? I feel like the Astros just watched the fucking Tigers go to the division series, or excuse me, the championship series and go like, wait, how much did they spend on Barrel? How much are we spending?
Division series. They lost to Cleveland division series. But yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Speaking of Tigers, they could get Bregman, by the way. That would be kind of cool. Reunite with AJ Hinch. Anyways, Cubs fans, get excited, man. You're going to love this guy. He's a great player. Astros fans, let us know what you think. I mean, I know we're a couple of Dodger fans here, so we might be Astro haters, but we do, you know, we do
I hate a specific segment of Astro.
Yeah. But we do respect your franchise, and we hope this works out for you because we don't like to see Kyle Tucker go. But another big trade got done today with Milwaukee Brewers star closer Devin Williams getting traded to the New York Yanks. This was surprising because the Dodgers were rumored to be in on Williams. I wanted the Dodgers to make a trade for Devin Williams, to be honest.
Me too.
But the Yankees, they made the deal, and they traded Nestor Cortez, left-handed starting pitcher, and Caleb Durbin, a second base prospect who's major league ready. They're probably just going to, you know, put him right in there. This is what the Brewers do. They operate very similar to the Rays in this way. They kind of recycle their star players, and they get, you know, spare parts, but they sort of replenish, and they develop their pitchers very well. I think they're actually going to get a lot out of Nestor Cortes, to be honest. I think they'll tap into something with him. But Devin Williams and the Yankees, they definitely could have used him last year.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I mean,
yeah, I don't, but he's definitely one of the top three closers in baseball. So they're essentially replacing him with Clay Holmes. They signed Max Fried. They're replacing Cortes with Fried. We're going to get to that in a second. What do you think of the deal?
I actually like it. I think both guys really needed a change of scenery. I think for Devin Williams, this is going to feel like, oh man, I'm going to a big team now, you know, a big club. And that's not a shot at the Brewers. But their ownership spends, I don't want to say wisely or whatever, but they have a tighter purse string than the Yankees, obviously. So I think maybe Devin will get a little bit extra attention, you know, not necessarily that the Yankees are known for their bullpen coaches or pitching coaches right now, if ever. I don't really know many Yankees pitchers off the top of my head that, you know, the Yankees developed. Anyways, but I feel like these were two guys that were kind of faded, right? Cortes obviously gives up that grand slam to Freddie that is now baseball history. Devin Williams giving up that home run to Pete Alonso in that wild card,
Isn't that weird?
So it feels it's like these guys were kind of faded, right? The universe was just like, no, fresh starts. But, you know, there is an actual common denominator there, Jesse. A current Yankee, former Milwaukee Brewer who had a nightmare era of his own. If you remember back in 2019, Trent Grisham had that pass ball in the outfield.
Against the Washington Nationals.
And talking about, you know, a team of fate, it felt like, you know, I was
oddly enough,
I mean, knocked off our Dodgers in the first round.
That play might have cost the Dodgers the World Series that year, because, you know, that was the birth of Juan Soto right there, because he's the one who hit that ball. It got past Grisham, and then, you know, obviously the rest is history.
Yeah, three runs score on the play.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, dude. So I don't know. Just there's a little history of that. So I don't know. I hope nothing
isn't it
but
weird
the
though
those guys.
It's a trade of two pitchers that kind of left a sour taste in their fan base's mouths. You know what I mean? Like,
well, to be fair, I think that ownership
left a sour taste
in Devin Williams' mouth. You know, they've been fighting with this guy in arbitration for over a couple million bucks. You'll remember there was some nastiness with Josh Hader. And I believe they were close on the team as well.
Yeah.
But
he's been fighting with lockers, apparently. He broke his hand on a locker missed the playoffs 2 years ago.
That was tough. That was tough. Yeah, I mean, it's been a sordid history, or I guess run for him in Milwaukee, for Williams in Milwaukee. Even though the performance on the field has been pretty stellar.
Second best ERA among relievers last year. Obviously, his playoff numbers have not been good, but it's such a small sample size, you can't really gauge it on that. Yeah. He has one of the best out pitches in all of baseball. I mean, his screwball changeup airbender thing that he throws is one of
pretty
the nastiest
incredible
pitches in all of baseball.
Yeah.
So the Yankees have a true legit ace in the bullpen that they could rely on throughout the year. So I think it's a great move for the Yankees. I don't think that they gave up a ton. It is a good price for Milwaukee, but I think it's a price the Yankees are willing to pay.
How many years does Milwaukee have Cortes for now? Is it just
one year? I'm actually not sure what his contract is. I just know that Devin Williams is 1 year, but Cortes contract. Let's see. Cortes has her on Spot Track right now. It looks like he's a free agent.
Okay. So he'll have a little extra oomph in him, you know, to try and go get that bag, dude. I hope he has a great season. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also if the Brewers have a tough year, he's a trade chip too, which is smart. You know, it's a little bit
absolutely
of insurance. The Yankees also sending cash to the Brewers, and you know the Brewers love that. So and on that note with the Yankees, they're obviously they lost out on Juan Soto, so they pivoted, and their plan B has clearly been to stock up on their pitching, because not only did they get Devin Williams, but the other day they signed Max Fried to the biggest contract ever for a left-handed pitching pitcher, surpassing one Clayton Kershaw.
I love that guy.
Yeah, 8-year, $218 million, most ever for a lefty. And a lot of people said this was an overpay. We've been taking some heat for saying that Soto's contract was an overpay. This is an overpay because of the years, not necessarily the AAV. They gave Fried 2 extra years. He's going to be 31 to start the season, which means they're going to be paying him until he's 39 years old. So you're getting the, you know, you're getting the bad half of that too. But I think Max Fried is the type of pitcher that can age pretty well so long as he stays healthy, because he's going to pitch away from contact, maybe a little bit like an Andy Pettit type of thing. I think this is a necessary move for the Yankees. It's also Gerrit Cole insurance in case Cole might have some elbow problems going on. We don't know yet. So
yeah, I love this. You have a bona fide second ace. You know, I mean, that's a pretty cool rotation. You know, with Cole, Fried. You know, you got Luis Gill
And Rodon.
It's pretty. It's pretty formidable. Really
Clark
looking
Schmidt.
Forward to seeing him in pinstripes. You know, it'll be a trip, not seeing him in a Braves uniform. But I'm always stoked for when a player gets the bag. So good for you. Good for getting the years as well. But I do feel like
California kid too.
Yeah. You know, I do feel like though he might go the way of like a Liam, or not Liam Hendricks, but, Kyle Hendricks of the Cubs. I feel like he's going to be just throwing some like funky 80 mile an hour junk, and some
real 87 stuff. Yeah.
Some days it's just getting hit in the backyard like a goddamn pinata, you know.
Yeah, and then the next day he's got 7 double play balls under his belt.
Yeah, it's just, what's going on? No, I think he's gonna age well, but that's a long time for a guy that does have a little bit of an injury history.
It's a risky one for sure, but I think that it's one of those things where you kind of have to maximize this Aaron Judge window. He's 34,
exactly.
So you basically have 3 years.
Right,
you have 3 years.
And it's not
years.
Just an Aaron Judge window. It is a Cole window as well, you know?
Exactly. So you have this like 3-year window to maximize, and it's like, all right, you're paying 5 extra years for Fried, you know, hoping that these 3 years are elite. And I think that they will be. I think the American League is so wide open right now that I think the Yankees are probably going to be the clear favorites going in. And I think the reason why they did this, and I want to move on after this, I think the reason why they did this is because you didn't get Soto, so you have to go the pitching route so that you can maybe trade Luis Gil to get like a big impact bat. And that's what they were trying to do. Apparently, they did not want to part with Luis Gil to get Kyle Tucker, though, which is interesting. So I think that might have been a mistake if that's what the Astros wanted. I think that they maybe should have done that. But, you know, it remains to be seen. They're probably in on Arenado, Christian Walker, Pete Alonso. There's options out there. So the Yankees, I think that they're going to be good. Lineup stinks, but I think they're going to be good.
And then, you know, still got the trade deadline, you know, midway point of the season. But I don't know, like, man, I don't know. There's something about this move, though, that gets me fired up. I just love – I'm a Kershaw guy. I just love an ace left-hander. I just love a good – I don't know. So I love seeing him getting all breaded up. And I don't know, dude. Does this make them repeats in the AL East?
I think they should be favorites. They should be favorites. I think division so. Champion, I think – Yeah, I mean, I love Boston getting Garrett Crochet, by the way. We didn't mention that. I love them making that trade. I think that the Red Sox are right there. They're right in on it. So I do think there's – and obviously there's the Orioles. Getting Tyler O'Neill. They might keep Burns. We don't know yet. But I think that the Yankees have enough to win that division. And, you know, I just don't see – Royals, Guardians, Astros, Mariners being like above them. I think that they have a pretty good path here. But I love the fact that Lucas Giolito and Max Fried, both Harvard Westlake kids from here in Southern California, now they're on the Red Sox and the Yankees. So now they're heated rivals.
That's fun.
That storyline. That's gonna be. I hope we get some matchups of them over the over this season. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be adorable. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of the Yankees, it's the last topic of the day. The infamous Aaron Judge dropped fly ball in the fifth inning of Game 5 of the World Series, sold at auction for $43,000. Brandon, money well spent?
Oh, man, you got to be kidding me. Like, what are you doing with that? I guess if you got the money and you're a private collector, more power to you. But it does just kind of feel like the most, like, petty baseball memorabilia purchase of all time. But what if, dude, what if Aaron Judge bought that ball and he just got it on a mantle and he's just fucking staring at it, dude, like an Ace Ventura, laces out. Just like, dude, eye on the ball.
This is a rich guy troll job, dude, for sure. Like, oh, this is it's the pettiest rich guy troll job of all time. I love it. I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious that somebody even tried to sell it. First off,
a thousand
smart on that guy.
That's super smart funny. And you're telling me
how do they verify
getting a cut of that, dude? It's verified memorabilia. But Jess,
how did they verify it was the same ball though? Did they just have to? Did they have a camera on it to know for sure that they could trace
all
it?
They got all the authenticators out there, dude. It's wild. But no, it is kind of funny. It feels like it's just. This is the kicker, Jess. I don't think it was a Dodger fan that bought it. I feel like this is a Boston fan. This is a Mets fan. Like, it's a type of East Coast pettiness that is just like chef's kiss to whoever you are out there.
Good.
But it's pretty rad. It's a funny little so there, you know?
Speaking of petty fans, Fat Joe had something to say about Dodger fans being in his mentions and his comments on that they've what did he say? He was doing a podcast. What was it?
Yeah, they were talking about it. He's like, man, I've caught so much shit from people after the World Series. He's like, but mostly Dodger fans. But I got to give Fat Joe a lot of credit. You know, he did seem like he was having a little fun with it because he said that he's like, I'm a sore loser. He's like, but I'm an even worse winner. He's like, you're going to hear me even worse when I win, and that is what they're doing. Kike, if you'll remember, had some funny little words at the parade about how they knew it was over before it even began once Fat Joe stepped out onto the field, dude. They knew they were going to win it all.
We didn't even have to play the game. We had already won.
Dude,
he also, he was basically saying that because the Dodgers what was it that he was saying? He was talking about the earpiece too. He said apparently he was making excuses for the earpiece. I don't know if you saw that part.
Oh man.
He was saying that the
that's
why his performance sucked. But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy that Fat Joe's kind of being a good sport about it. He sees the meme. He sees the big picture here, that the meme is more important than his feelings. You know?
Definitely. Yeah. We should all be so so wise, Jess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It still makes me giggle pretty hard. The Fat Joe performance will live in infamy. I mean, dude, it was so bad that we completely forgot all about the drunken all-star performance. I can't even remember that broad's name.
Oh, no, Ingrid Andres.
Oh,
come on.
Come on, dude. Ingrid,
you think I forgot that?
Fucking strays. Yeah. Ingrid, how you doing?
This will be at our end of year awards, deferred collusions end of year awards. It's going to be worst pregame performance, Ingrid Andres or Fat Joe. We're gonna have the fans vote. Brandon, this was a fun one. I got to go. A little shorter episode than usual today, but Kyle Tucker, Chicago Cub.
Wow.
Congratulations, Cubs fans. You got yourself a good one. And this was fun, bro.
Yankees fans, you got an ace. You got a stud closer. Shouts out to Milwaukee for doing the damn thing, getting yourself another pitcher, another position player. And as always, thank you for joining us, the Deferred Collusion Boys. Check us out on your favorite social media platform and, as always, here on YouTube, unless you're listening to the audio only, which is now live.
On Spotify, live on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your music.
That is correct.
I don't know. Yeah. I got to work on this.
As always, this is your hosts with the most, Jesse, the King of Crespi Row, Brandon Bollinger, Deferred Collusion. We'll see you next time. Don't forget to follow us on anything, dude. or else, dude. We need the followers. Come on, man. Engage with us.
I love you.
We do love you.